Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I never believed in ghosts or spirits before. I always enjoyed reading about scary stories, but I was always a skeptic. But after today, I can confidently say that I do believe in spirits and in evil. After speaking to my dad about this incident with my two younger brothers, he's convinced me to write about our story and post it onto Reddit for, hopefully, some answers. I'm sorry if this is poorly written, but I'm trying to vent about the occurrence while it's still fresh in my mind. It happened about 2 hours ago. My family and I are actually currently on a road trip from Florida to Wyoming. Today, however, we decided to set up camp at a secluded, backwooded RV camp in the wilderness by a lake. Only one other RV was parked here, and it was all the way on the opposite side of the lake. When we first got here, we were looking around at the area, and I immediately noticed the beautiful rocks and minerals all over the place. There were so many, I then noticed a picture-perfect bundle of wheat lying on the ground. I looked online at what it is called, and it says it is called a sheaf. Well, I thought it looked nice, and my dad told me to keep it and put it in the URV as a keepsake. About 3 minutes later, my youngest brother, Joe, 12, came to me and told me that he found some bones by a tree. I was immediately concerned and followed him to the bones. Sure enough, there was a bone about the size of my forearm that looked a lot like a dog bone out of a cartoon and a couple of other skull-like bones, not human skull. Beside it, mind you, these bones were in no particular formation. just in a pile. It didn't look as if it was a complete set of bones, and they were not human bones. At least not that I know of. I'd also like to add that the bones had no sort of remains on them. Just bone. My other brother, John, 13, then came over to us and noticed the bones as well. It was extremely creepy. I had walked away, and so did Joe. But while we were gone, John moved one of the bones around with his shoe, which immediately worried me. We left the area and began to just relax with family for a while. We also took a trail behind where the RV was parked. It was a nice half-mile trail, but very much in the wilderness. Later, we noticed that the sun was setting and the fireflies were coming out, so we decided to take the trail once again. But this time at sunset. We were having a great time and finally came to the point where we have to choose to take a left, right, or continue forward. We were standing there for at least a minute discussing what we should do. I had a bad feeling and told my brothers, I really don't want to continue forward or walk to the right. It's an unknown area that we haven't done. Joe replied, yeah. John was spinning in a circle for fun. We then heard a noise like a screech, Joe said quietly. What was that? Not even 5 seconds went by and we then heard a screech, like growl. It was not a human sound. Joe immediately bolted back to the RV and shouted, run! And me and John stood there 2 more seconds as we both saw with our own eyes a figure about 6 tall, a wide build, and something in front of it which looked like a claw. A claw the size of a human head. I described it as the ends of a Native American's feather crown on their head. It was Edward Scissorhands. Like. Anyway, the thing seemed to be gliding or riding something up the hill to the right where I didn't want to go in the grass on the hill. It looked like a black shadow. Mind you, all of this happened literally within a 10-second time span. From the first growl to the second and to the figure moving, John and I immediately bolted behind Joe back to the RV. I've never been so afraid for my life. I ran like the wind, so fast that I thought I'd die from tripping down the hill. As we're running back, John is shouting at me. That was probably just Dad. It's just Dad. I kept yelling, no it wasn't, and cussing like crazy out of fear. We arrived to the RV, and the first person we saw was my dad. The figure wasn't my dad. We hysterically were laughing and breathing. We were laughing because we couldn't believe we were alive and made it back to the RV and couldn't believe what we had just witnessed. We will never forget this occurrence and are still very much haunted by it. We were all alone in the wilderness. Our theories are that we upset some Native American spirit and that it wanted us away from its land. We also think that maybe it was because we disturbed items used for witchcraft by a stranger. Our last theory, strongly believed by my 2 brothers, is that it was a skinwalker. We don't think it was a bear because of how loud and screechy the growl was. It seemed as if it were right in our ears, even though the figure was several feet in front of us. Plus, the way it was moving was not bear-like. All we know is that we're terrified and we'll never think the same after this. We've learned our lesson about respecting items that aren't ours. In land that isn't ours. We just want to see if anyone on Reddit can give us any information on what they think it could have been, or simply getting some comfort from others would be nice. We're currently wide awake here in the RV. I'm Genna, and I want to share my chilling encounter with a strange man in black, which I recounted on the 1997 Coast to Coast radio show during an episode featuring Jim Keith. This unsettling incident took place back in 1991 when I was residing in the Midtown area of Sacramento. At the time, I was working on setting up a support group for people who had experienced abductions. It was early in the morning and my husband had already left for work. I was lying in bed in a sort of twilight consciousness. Suddenly, an overwhelming paralysis came over me, and from the corner of my eye, I saw him, a tall, whitish-gray man with strikingly red, painted lips. He was dressed in an all-black suit that was impeccably dark, topped with an exceptionally tall black hat, resembling a cowboy hat. I couldn't recall any details about his eyes. He proceeded to sit down in the rocking chair near my bed and fixate his gaze upon me. With a sinister grin, his arm extended and transformed into an eerie, clown-like face. He said, "This is who I am." I wasn't about to succumb to fear. Defiance surged through me as I attempted to muster the willpower to escape this dream, even though, in my mind, I didn't believe it was a dream at all. I mustered up my composure and sternly told him, "Get out of my room! Get out of my room! You don't belong here, and I never want you to return." In an instant, his outstretched arm snapped back into its normal form, and the strange face vanished. He fixed his gaze on me once more and said, "You will never know, and you will never tell." I reiterated my demand for him to leave my room, and he rose before me, spinning counter, clockwise and disappearing into my hardwood floor, as if he'd never been there at all. The encounter left me shaken and bewildered, and it's an experience that has stayed with me to this day. I was a counselor at a high school in Las Vegas, Nevada, several years ago. One day, the principal brought two men in three peace suits and a student to my office and asked me to register him. I will leave out some details, but as I looked at the student, I saw that the pupils of his eyes were like cat eyes. Other than that, he was normal looking. The two men looked around my office and appeared to not notice my reaction. I asked the boy his name, and he gave me a first name. I began filling out the forms, and one of the men said they would have to come back because they were late. They left, and I heard no more about it. I told the principal that the registration had not been completed, and he merely nodded, and there was no more discussion. I've often thought about it. That was the extent of the comment. I later asked the witness if they would elaborate on the incident. The strange thing is that it was never spoken of, and I didn't mention it to anyone at school, but did tell my family. I had been following information at the time about supposed aliens at Area 51 and just assumed that they were testing responses to the boy's eyes. He wouldn't have lasted a minute in a regular class, and I'm not sure why I didn't say something to the men about that. As I said, they just stood and looked around the office, not appearing to notice my response. Looking at him, the boy, gave me a little shock, but I assumed they were from the base testing reactions. I thought later that this time he could probably wear contact lenses that would disguise his eyes. As I said, I was reading and following information at that time about aliens and probably took it more in stride than someone might have. I've read about others who've had experiences and were surprised that they just never mentioned or discussed it again. As a counselor, I also was trying not to hurt him by commenting on his eyes. I'm Greg Aldrich, and I want to share a rather unsettling encounter I had with some mysterious men dressed in black suits. This incident occurred several years ago when I was working as a nurse down in Salt Lake City. I called into the 1997 Coast to Coast radio show, where Jim Keith was the guest, to recount this baffling experience. One weekend, a patient came into the hospital, and from the moment I saw him, I had a hunch that he was somehow connected to the military. He had the classic short-cropped hair and an overall military appearance. It turned out that he was employed at the Dugway Proving Ground. He had sustained a broken leg while working on something there, but no matter how much I probed and questioned, I couldn't get any additional information out of him. As the time came for the patient to be transferred, two rather intimidating individuals arrived. They weren't wearing sunglasses, but they did sport black suits, and they gave off an aura of intimidation. One might have assumed they were part of the Army Corpsmen, given their appearance, but there was something about them that felt incredibly strange. What struck me as odd was that they refused to disclose where they were taking the patient. In a typical hospital transfer, we would receive copies of the patient's records to accompany them. However, these two individuals insisted on not leaving the nurse's ward with the patient. They kept him on a gurney until they had a private conversation with my nursing manager. She took them aside, and shortly afterwards she handed over the patient's records to them. What was truly peculiar was that the patient seemed to vanish without a trace. He was just gone, as if he had never been there. Nobody at the hospital had any record of him ever being a patient, and the entire situation left me feeling utterly bewildered. For the past 2 years, me and my spouse have both been hearing each other calling our names. This only happens when one of us is out of the house for an extended period, like a vacation or a few days' travel without the other person. At first, I was very skeptical. He said he heard my voice shouting from around the kitchen for help, and he was in the bedroom, so he didn't want to go check knowing I was not even in the same state. I pretty much laughed it off, thinking it was a trick of the ear. Until it happened to me, he was gone for about 3 days. I was in the kitchen and heard baby. Help me, clear as day in his voice. I was the same way, not checking whatever that was. It recurred many times after that. Just his voice shouting while he was off on a trip. It went away after a few months, but last month I was standing in the kitchen again and heard my own voice from the bedroom calling my cats. Here, kitty cat, like it was mimicking me to try to get my cats to come into the room. My dog started freaking out and looked into the hallway with fear. I got goosebumps and have been trying my best to ignore it. Help me, please. What is this and why? What do you think it achieves from doing this? I was hunting deer alone and shot a buck from much longer range than I should have. It looked like it was badly wounded, but it managed to run away. I gave chase, and for most of that, well, it was out of my sight. After a mile or so of running, I caught sight of the buck a couple hundred feet away. The animal was not moving and had been finished off by another hunter. That person was at the buck's rear end and looked like he was humping it. I didn't even consider getting a closer look at that point. I might have had a legitimate claim to part of the buck's corpse, but claiming the meat was the last thing on my mind. I bolted out of there faster than I could have managed while chasing after it, praying the whole time he didn't notice me. As long as there's crazy deer, humpers in the woods, I'm not going back there. I received a lead on a dogman encounter from a member of MUFON who had a friend that recently moved to Whitewater, Wisconsin. I arranged to meet with the Whitewater eyewitness, and here's what she kindly shared with me. It was around the fall of 2010, and I was driving home to Whitewater in the early evening. I was traveling at 55 miles per hour along a two-lane country highway, keeping an eye out for deer. Suddenly, I saw movement near my passenger side window. I slowed down a bit, fearing it might be a deer. It seemed to be down in the ditchland at first, but then it popped up next to my SUV, running alongside my vehicle and keeping up with me for about 5-7 seconds. This was a tall, 7-foot dark furry being that was much taller than a human. I realized it was definitely not a deer. It looked like a big furry bear. Wolf creature running on two legs. It had these big pointed ears like a wolf, but much larger, along with a big head and a large body. As I hit my brakes, the creature went down on all fours, bounding across the road in front of my SUV. Its back, when on all fours, was even higher than the hood of my SUV. It leaped gracefully across the two lanes of the highway in just a couple of bounds and then disappeared off the roadway, running past a barn and into the woods on the other side. The creature was longer than my SUV was wide. It definitely wasn't a bear, and it wasn't a wolf. There are no bears or wolves in southern Wisconsin, except for the occasional one passing through. After speaking with me, the eyewitness believed I was sincere and could see that I was still shaken while recalling what I had witnessed. Even 8 years later, I could feel the hair standing up on my arms and I shivered. It's worth noting that the Beast of Bray Road sightings occurred less than 20 miles away, and my sighting happened less than 7 miles from Bigfoot. UFO flying man, bat werewolf, gremlin, and our wereboy sightings. My cousin and I were walking down the Harris River from the Harris River campground. We had been walking for about 30 to 45 minutes when my cousin thought he saw something standing out in front of us, about 100 or so feet away. When he asked me if I could see what it was, I told him I couldn't because I didn't have any contacts on or glasses. He told me it was just a stump, and I replied, okay. We went over to where we thought the thing was, and in the sand, about an inch deep, there was a footprint that looked like a man's, with a shoe size that seemed to be around 15. There were 3 footprints in total. About a minute later, we ran for about 10 minutes, then started walking again. Eventually, we reached the road, which was about a mile away from the picnic area where we were having a Mother's Day picnic. We started to race each other to the picnic area, where our family members were. We told them about what we had seen, but for some odd reason, we decided to keep it to ourselves. My story happened 3 years ago in 2018. I witnessed something large in Canine Crossing 6th Street near Canal Street in Milwaukee, right by the bridge near the Harley Museum. It moved on all fours and appeared to be carrying something in its mouth. I speculated it might have been a Canadian goose because the creature seemed to struggle as if it was trying to escape. The area is situated next to the water, so it could have easily caught a goose. This incident occurred at around 2:30 in the morning on January 9. The creature appeared to move awkwardly on all fours, and I observed it when it was halfway across the road. It disappeared under the bridge after passing the bridge railing. I continued past that spot, turned my car around, and drove through the parking lot beneath the bridge, but I couldn't find anything. This sighting dates back to the fall of 1992. A friend and I were driving back to Fairbanks from Anchorage. I was driving her 1980 Dodge 50 truck. These trucks sit very low to the ground, and it was late at night, just as we were about to reach the tourist area of Denali Park. It wasn't winter yet. Just before a corner, my headlights illuminated something sitting on the yellow line in the middle of the road. The lights on this truck were grossly out of adjustment, so they were pointing right at the object. It was sitting in the middle of the road with its legs pulled up to its chest and its arms folded over its knees. Its head was between its arms, looking toward the ground. It had long, human-like hair. At first I thought it was an orangutan, but then I thought to myself, why would an orangutan be in the middle of nowhere in Alaska? I've lived here almost all of my life, and there is no animal like this. I thought to myself, the only way it could have been an orangutan is if there's a circus out here, and I knew that was not a possibility in such a remote area. I drove right next to it, and I was at its level. If I had been going slowly, I could have easily touched it. I was freaked out and thought I must be seeing things. Maybe I was tired. My friend saw it too, although neither of us said a word until we reached the gas station in the town of Healy, just past Denali. She said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "I thought I was seeing things." This spooked us so much that we didn't even talk about it until we were around other people. We have talked about this and still agree that we saw this thing. We were about to give up on trying to explain it to anyone else because no one believes us. We both have decided not to bring it up because no one believes it anyway. What I find so unusual is that there's no native Alaskan animal that could resemble this thing in any way. We have bears, moose, caribou, porcupines, rabbits, etc. But none of these animals have knees or long reddish-colored hair. I don't know how to explain it, and I've given up trying because nobody believes it. They just think you're joking. I don't want to be harassed by any skeptics. I just want to be able to share my genuine experience in case others have seen what I have. My sighting took place in March 2018 near the village of Rochester, Wisconsin. It was around 11 p.m., and I had left my home to make a short trip to Walmart to pick up some items my fiancé needed for work the next day, mainly lunch foods and underarm deodorant. Rochester, Wisconsin, is located in southeast Wisconsin, alongside the Fox River, between two nature preserves. It consists mainly of forested land with hills and a few open fields. As I was on my way to Walmart, there's a hill that must be climbed before leveling out at the top. At the top of the hill is a small gravel pool, off-named Honey Creek. While I was coming up the hill and around a slight curve, I noticed something standing in the middle of the road a little before the pull-off. My immediate reaction was, why is that huge dog just standing there? And what is going on? My next thought was, that's the biggest black German Shepherd I've ever seen. As I got a little closer to this animal, I hit it with my bright beams, completely illuminating it. At that point, this creature stared at me for about 4 or 5 seconds, and then reared back on its hind legs, standing on only its back legs. It turned around to face the way it came from, leaped, yes, leaped, into the ditch and shot off like it was fired out of a cannon, disappearing into the tree line. The color of this animal was completely black. It had very long front legs, and its back hindquarters were very muscular, somewhat resembling a pit bull's body physique, but much larger. The head of this creature looked similar to a shepherd or wolf, but the muzzle was wider and resembled that of a bulldog, rather than a wolf or shepherd. When it stood up and turned, it was still facing and glaring at me, but I was able to briefly see what I can only describe as shoulders like a hominid, and what appeared to be pectoral muscles under a very thin layer of fur or hair, much shorter than on the rest of its body, so thin that it seemed, like you could almost see the skin. Despite all this, I personally felt no fear, just confusion and then amazement at how fast it moved. I don't know what these things are, but I can now confidently assure you, they are real. Thank you. I had a dog named Silver Chief. When he was a puppy, I was a baby. We grew up together. I had graduated high school when he died. Anyway, that dog was not afraid of anything, man or beast. We had been having some chickens killed at night and thought it might be a fox or something. One night I heard the chicken hollering, so I grabbed a flashlight and a .22 caliber rifle and ran to the chicken house. It was dark, but I saw a huge white cat-like creature jump over the chicken wire fence. It was 7 feet high. I went in and there were 6 dead chickens. It was not long after that, on another night, I heard my dog barking. I could tell by his bark he had something treed. All of a sudden, he screamed and ran back to the house. He had never run from anything. My brother got the .22 and walked up into the woods. He was walking around and heard claws scratching on tree bark. He looked up right into the eyes of what we called a wampus cat. It was getting ready to pounce on him. My brother, who was an excellent hunter, just threw the rifle barrel up without taking time to aim and shot the cat right through the head. He brought the cat home, and I had never seen anything like it. It was solid yellow or white-colored, had long 3 or 4 inch fur and a tail about 4 or 5 inches long. Even with a short tail, it was 3 feet long from nose to tail. We skinned him, salted his skin, and stretched it on the barn door. I remember that we used to hear it screaming in the swamp at night. Sometimes it sounded like a woman screaming, and sometimes it sounded like a baby crying. I've never seen anything like it before or since. It had huge teeth that had grooves in the gums and lips on the opposite of the teeth. It had had huge feet. Here is a drawing I saw several years ago. Most people don't believe we actually killed it till they saw its hide on the barn door. The memory lingers in the recesses of my mind, a vivid snapshot frozen in time. I was 12, sitting in the passenger seat of my mother's car on a chilly morning. The clock in the car read 7 a.m. as we navigated the familiar route to the train station before school. Little did I know that this ordinary morning would carve a lasting imprint on my memory. As the car glided down the empty road, a figure materialized in front of us. A slender woman draped in a flowing white gown with long dark hair that cascaded like a waterfall down her back. Her presence, ethereal and out of place, sent shivers down my spine. Instinctively, I yelled for my mother to stop, my heart pounding with the fear that she would collide with the mysterious woman. But my mother continued driving, oblivious to the spectral figure in our path. I watched in horror as the woman remained unmoved, standing in the middle of the road. It felt like an eternity passed, the car hurtling toward her, and I braced for impact. And then, as suddenly as she appeared, the woman vanished, dissipating into thin air. Breathless and bewildered, I turned to my mother. "Did you see her? The woman in the white gown?" I asked, my voice trembling with a mixture of fear and confusion. My mother glanced at me, a furrow forming on her brow. "What are you talking about? I didn't see anyone. Are you sure you're feeling okay?" But I knew what I had seen. The image of the spectral woman, her form stark against the early morning light, was etched into my mind. The encounter left me with an eerie feeling, a question lingering in the air like a ghostly whisper. Why had I seen something that my mother hadn't? Now 8 years have passed, and the memory remains vivid, as if it happened yesterday. I've never encountered anything like that since, and the incident has become a haunting enigma in the tapestry of my life. Theories have crossed my mind. Was it a glimpse into another realm, a fleeting connection with the supernatural, or merely a figment of an overactive imagination? The woman in the white gown has become a specter that accompanies my thoughts. A mystery I carry with me into adulthood. The rational part of me dismisses it as a trick of the mind, a momentary lapse in perception. Yet there's a lingering doubt, a nagging sensation that the encounter held a significance beyond the ordinary. As I reflect on that morning, the questions persist. Was she a spirit from the past, a residual echo in the fabric of time, or a messenger of something beyond our comprehension? The encounter may remain unsolved, but the woman in the white gown will forever be a haunting presence, a mysterious chapter in the story of my life that refuses to fade away. This happened to me probably 6 or so years ago, and I'm still extremely confused on what happened. I just found this sub, so maybe I can get some clarity. So to set the scene, I was camping with about 5 other friends along the South Holston River in the Appalachian Mountains of East Tennessee. It was probably around 2 a.m. when this happened. Me and one of my friends slept in a couple of hammocks, while the rest of the group were split up into a couple of tents that were maybe 15 feet away. I was the only one awake at the time, but I was just about to fall asleep. Suddenly I hear this insane noise. It sounded like a man letting out a loud, deep scream at the top of his lungs as if he was in pain. At first it sounded about 20 feet away, but I heard it move extremely quickly through the middle of the campsite, right between where I was sleeping and where my friends' tents were. It was just a few.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
A few feet from me as it went by. Once it passed through the camp, the noise stopped. It only lasted maybe 3-4 seconds. Despite the fact that whatever making the noise was clearly moving through the camp very quickly, there was no sound of hurried footsteps, leaf crunching, or anything like that to indicate that something was moving. It was only the sound of screaming. It woke everyone up, and we were all terrified. We got up and looked around camp, but there was no sign of anything passing through. We thought maybe it was a type of bird since there were no footsteps, but none of us had been able to find any bird from the area that makes a sound anywhere close to that. Our first theory was a screech owl, but we looked up what they're called sound like, and it definitely wasn't one of those. We all agreed that it sounded like a man, but it was too fast for a person. We thought maybe something like a deer, bear, or mountain lion, but we would have undoubtedly heard some footsteps if it was. We're completely out of theories at this point. Does anyone have any thoughts on what could possibly explain what we heard? Okay, so I don't know if this thing happens to you or not, but it definitely happened with me. I was in my college first year, and I, along with my friend, smoked some weed, and I was pretty high at that moment, and it was like my first or second time smoking it, and I don't know how, but I was able to read the lips, or the mind of the people. After smoking it, I was going back to my home on my bike. Then my brother called me up that he is also free, and his college was very near to mine. So I went to catch him up. He was with his friend, and his group was coming out of the college gate. They were just talking about their day. My brother then noticed me, waved his hand to me, to which I also waved my hand. I was around 25 to 30 meters away from him, and many. Students were passing through, and between then, a girl from his group said that the shirt I'm wearing looks very good on me. I don't know how, but I heard her there. There was a lot of rush there, and they were talking in between them, only. My brother came to me, and then we both were going back to our home. On our way home, I was riding the bike, knowing that I was not in my mind. I saw two of my college mates were also going home by their car, and one of them said to another, "Is he from our college?" As they were unable to identify me, cause I was wearing a helmet, and I was behind their car, and I just saw their heads, and I recognized them. I moved on. I reached home, ate food, and the next day I asked my brother that his friend was really talking about my shirt, to which he was literally shocked. And he asked me, "Who told you this?" And I replied him, "No one, because I don't even know a single person other than him in his college." I showed him my recent chats. He wasn't ready to believe. Then I went to the college and I asked the same guy who was asking about me in the car. He was also very surprised that how could I even listen to what they were saying, cause they were playing music in the car at that time. He wasn't ready to believe and said that I read his lips or whatever. I don't know what happened to me, but that was a crazy experience, like I was able to read or listen to what other people were talking about me. Does this happen to anyone else? If yes, then please let me know. A few years back, I was a Marine reservist. My particular job involves being outdoors a lot, especially at night in the middle of nowhere. We never saw anything super spooky, but did have some interesting things happen. This particular drill weekend, we go up to a lake in North Georgia. We're going to be doing some amphib stuff and a training patrol. This was the first and only time in my 6-year contract that we weren't doing this sort of thing on a military installation. We were out on a public lake and going to be patrolling through private properties. Apparently higher-ups had informed local police and residents, but I'm not exactly sure how effective they were in that. We were all excited because for the first time we were really going to be using stealth skills in facing credible compromise, instead of headquarters playing bad guys. Coming to find us after we give our current GPS coordinates over the radio. Anyway, we load up on the Zodiacs about midnight and ride for about 30 minutes. We slip into the water and fin to our designated spot where we catch AR safety vests and fins, booties, etc. It's about 1 a.m. on a Friday night. We start patrolling toward our objective and realize we are pretty close to some houses along the edge of the lake. We can't see them, but we can see light coming off of them over the hill, etc. It's early summer, it's been dry, and there are vines everywhere. We're trying to be quiet, but we have a dude carrying a sniper rifle, a guy with a law rocket trainer T-boned across the top of his ruck, and it's dark as balls. We are snagging vines everywhere, crunching leaves, making way more noise than we want to. We hear voices down at a private dock about 150 miles away and see a boat rounding the corner. It looks like a pontoon boat they were partying on. Has all the little party lights set up and some quiet music playing. We decided to go a little deeper into the woods and try to move around them because we don't want to wait for them to dock the boat and walk up to the house. Apparently they hear us because the music cuts off. They kill the engine and spotlights start shining up in the woods. We freeze and wait. Lights go out. We wait about 20 minutes and try moving very slowly. Spotlights immediately come back on. Boat has drifted closer. We wait about 30 more minutes and try moving again. This time floodlights come on at the top of the hill where the house is. Faintly coming up from the water, I hear somebody yelling, "I'll shoot." I was scared to piss. We are way out in redneck country, and I can only imagine what somebody would do if late at night they saw 6 men with military uniforms, faces painted, rucks, night vision, goggles, and R's in their backyard. Probably think the Russians were invading and unload with the old 36 Lowell. We have AM-4s, yes, but never get ammo on training missions, and we are in the wrong regardless. I specifically remember my team leader circling us up and hissing, "These people are trying to F us, and we aren't going to let it happen." We ended up out, waiting them and slipping around. No harm, no foul. So glad we didn't get shot at by some good Americans doing their civic duty. Later that same op, we had just settled in to our hide site, as the sun was coming up and were doing all the stuff associated with that. We were about a mile from any house at this point, deep in the woods. Shortly after sunrise, I'm leaned up against my ruck trying to get some sleep while team leader gets all his shit done, and we all hear footsteps. Everyone freezes, then starts slowly packing shit up in case we have to run. About 50 yards away, I see this middle-aged guy come trotting through the trees. He's white, average height, slight gut, balding and sweaty as hell. Weird thing about him is he's way out here running through the open woods wearing some dirty khaki slacks. a gray wife beater, and some black dressy shoes. He's also filthy with what looks like engine grease, like he's been working on a car. We sat in our little ditch and watched him run past us. He came within about 20-30 feet of us, but was totally oblivious. Never saw him after that. Still wonder what the hell he was doing out there and how funny it would have been if he had ran up in the middle of us. In all my many hours in the woods, all over this country, he's probably the most mysterious thing I've encountered. The annual family road trip from Scotland to Switzerland was a tradition deeply embedded in our summer vacations. The adventure was always peppered with scenic landscapes, charming pit stops, and the thrill of experiencing different cultures. However, one particular journey remains etched in my memory, not for its picturesque vistas or cultural escapades, but for an eerie encounter at the Swiss border. Our journey progressed seamlessly as we traversed through England, hopped onto the Channel Ferry, and spent a night in Calais. The next day, with the Swiss Alps beckoning us, we resumed our drive. The road unwound ahead of us, weaving through quaint villages and rolling hills. However, a hiccup emerged in the form of unexpected roadworks, causing a slight delay in our meticulously planned itinerary. As dusk cloaked the landscape, we approached the Swiss border. Our excitement mingled with the weariness of a long day's drive. The border crossings were usually routine affairs, mere checkpoints with a handful of guards conducting a swift inspection of the vehicles. The open borders within the European Union meant no passport checks, making the process quick and hassle-free. Our tired but eager caravan pulled up to the checkpoint in the darkness, expecting the routine inspection to facilitate our seamless entry into Switzerland. However, a peculiar scene unfolded before us. The checkpoint was deserted. Not a single soul manned the station, and an eerie silence hung in the air. The buildings, typically illuminated in the evening, stood in complete darkness. It was an unusual sight, and a chill ran down my spine as I scanned the area. Despite the apparent abandonment, signs of life were scattered around. Jackets were casually draped over chairs, indicating abrupt departure. The glow of a television flickered from within the main building, a stark contrast to the lifeless surroundings. My dad, who had taken the wheel for this leg of the journey, slowed down to a crawl but didn't come to a complete stop. The unsettling ambiance prompted an instinctual reluctance to linger in this deserted checkpoint. As we rolled through, the silence enveloped us, and a palpable tension filled the car. No explanation presented itself for the unattended border post. It was an enigma, a strange interlude in our routine pilgrimage to Switzerland. We passed through without incident, the border disappearing into the rearview mirror as the night swallowed its mysteries. To this day, the memory lingers as a perplexing anomaly, a chapter in our family's travel saga that defied explanation. The deserted Swiss border checkpoint, with its silent buildings and unattended posts, remains a lingering mystery, a whispered story of the night our journey took an unexpected turn into the unknown. I had a regular patch of government woods in a river bottom where a buddy and I would go hunting for feral hogs. We would walk in, find fresh sign, freshly rooted ground, and feces, then try to track them to their bedding areas. It was generally accepted that it was a bad idea to go alone, as waking hogs in their bedding areas can get pretty dangerous. On the day of a planned hunt, my buddy canceled. I had my day pack ready and my vehicle loaded. I decided I would just go alone. I began my walk into the woods in high spirits. About 2 miles in, I found fresh sign. A lot of it. It was a cool morning, and steam could be seen rising from the fecal matter. There was wet mud caked at varying heights at the base of many trees, indicating a large sounder of pigs. I followed the sign and passed through several sloughs that wound through the river bottom. I had the entire place mapped out on my smartphone GPS, but found myself going deeper in than we had previously been. Pigs can cover ridiculous amounts of ground, and hours later I was still stalking them. Thick cloud cover set in, and I lost my service. No big deal, I always marked my trail as a backup. I happened upon an area where there was a large amount of sawtooth oak. The ground was spattered with blood and chunks of flesh with pig hair still attached. I found the full length of a pigtail that had been ripped off in a fight over the abundant acorns. I estimated I had 2 hours until dark and decided I'd better just head back. Being stuck in that swamp in the dark alone didn't seem appealing. I didn't make it very far before a heavy downpour started. So heavy I could barely see. My choices were limited. Try to plod on and get out of there, or wait for the rain to stop so I could see my trail markers better. Not knowing when the rain would let up, I chose the former. Big mistake. I quickly found myself turned around and lost my trail. Not yet panicked, I broke out the compass and began making my way north toward the river. I hit a slough, crossed it, hit another, and crossed it. Then another. What the FBI said aloud as I hit the fourth slough. I didn't cross this many in rapid succession on my way in. I was getting nervous by now. Invisibility was vanishing rapidly. Suddenly the sound of scuffling earth and the squeals of fighting hogs broke out about 50 yards out. Dark was descending on me and I couldn't see them. My flashlight was useless. The cover was too thick. I shouldered my rifle and drew my .357 Magnum with a 6-barrel. Should I fire a shot to scare them off? Fire 3 as them souls in case there were other hunters around. Option 1, I fired a round into the dirt. The squeals and scuffling stopped. Dead silence. Shouldn't I have heard them run off? Maybe the wet mud silenced their exit. I moved forward slowly, holding both my flashlight and revolver in front of me. I stumbled into a wallowing area. I scanned the mud, viewing hog prints of many sizes. Several bigger than my closed fist. Damn it! An angry, guttural groan sounded to my left. I positioned a large oak between myself and the sound and shined my flashlight in its direction. Nothing. Then I saw it. The base of a cypress tree, cut up from the rubbing of tusks. The marks were over 2 feet up the trunk. Big boar. The scuffling started again, this time ahead of me, in the direction I had to go. Slowly I moved on, always keeping large trees in my path in case I got charged. Long moments of silence were occasionally broken by snorts, squeals, grunts, and scuffling. It was as though they knew where I was going and were intent on staying just ahead of me. 3 hours after dark, I finally reached the river and followed it back to my truck. I experienced a pretty big adrenaline crash when I got there and never conducted another solo hog hunt in those woods. On December 4th, 2005, at approximately 8:15 a.m., I was standing about 50 yards from the southwest corner boundary marker of my property when I heard the neighbor's dog start to bark and head southward toward Arkansas Highway 7. They only ran a short distance before stopping. I immediately thought they must be barking at a deer crossing the road. My initial instinct was to get my gun from my truck, but then I remembered I had parked outside the fence in front of my house. So I decided to stand there and observe, hoping to determine if it was a doe or a buck and that it wouldn't feel pressured since the dogs had stopped barking. I believed the deer might change direction if it saw me hurrying in its same general direction. Therefore, I stood still and waited, hoping to catch a glimpse of it. If the dogs remained quiet, I planned to hunt it later. Only one of the dogs got to see it for 2 to 3 seconds, but I saw it clearly. My initial impression was that I was observing a very large man wearing a hooded parka. Then I realized it was some kind of animal. It was about 50 yards away on the opposite side of an old fence that had been overtaken by grass, weeds, and vines. finally had a left side view of it as it was traveling east along an old fence row, covering a distance of about 20 yards. In just 3 seconds, I could only see its upper body. I could tell it was not a bear, but I couldn't make out distinct facial features from the side. It resembled an ape in some ways, but its posture appeared more manlike. I can best describe its size by comparing it to a very large man I know who is approximately 6 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 280 pounds. This creature was at least that tall, possibly a little taller, but close to that same build. I did not get a long view of it, and I probably wouldn't have had time to take a picture, even if I had a camera in my hand. It was moving at a brisk pace, but not lightning fast, with a stride resembling a trot or jog. The body moved quickly, but there's no up and down motion. From what I could tell, it appeared to have a moderately thick coat of black hair, and its face was dark, as if there was some hair on it. It was moving through a well-used deer crossing near an old fence row on both sides of Arkansas's Highway 7. The west fence row had recently been cleared, while the east side was logged about 5 years ago and has a fair amount of undergrowth and a game trail running along the south side of the fence row. Just a little to the southwest of the spot, there's a thicket approximately 3 acres in size. There are a couple of partial open areas in the woods there, and in most parts of this thicket, one can walk through fairly easily, while in some places, it is too thick to move through without clippers and or a machete. I did not see where the creature crossed Arkansas Highway 7, but it most likely came from an area about 40 yards away from the highway's west side right of way. I believe that this creature waited until there were no cars coming before crossing the road. I did not get the impression that it was running from something. I have mentally replayed the entire scenario many times, and I have stood and looked at the same area where the creature was seen. I looked for tracks after the incident, but the ground was too brushy for obvious tracks. I've stood in a spot where I observed the creature from, watched vehicles travel north along Arkansas Highway 7, and considered every possible scenario. It wasn't any kind of illusion. I was there, and I saw it. Would just like to start by saying that I am new to Reddit, and this is my first post, so please bear with me if I am not doing this right. This story I am about to share is actually why I joined Reddit on my quest to find out if this has happened to anyone else. This is 100% true and is really hard for me to share because anytime I have tried to tell someone else about it, I get laughed at and accused of just trying to pull their leg. I recently seen an article about a woman who was hunting and seen an invisible or cloaked creature that she described almost like a predator from the movie of the same name. I read her story and seen the picture she took of said predator. Now, as for her picture, I personally think it is a combination of flare from the sun and a close-up of possibly her face or something. I am not dismissing her story, though, actually quite the opposite, since I too have encountered something similar, and is what prompted me to seek out if anyone else has encountered a predator in the woods. Now on to my encounter. When I was about 5 years old, I was playing by the edge of the woods behind my grandmother's house. I played there often, and my grandma just kept an eye on me from the kitchen or living room, because the house had huge windows that faced the woods. She would come out every once in a while just to see what I was up to. I was obsessed with digging in the dirt and collecting unusual rocks and arrowheads that littered the land where my grandmother lived. I should mention this is Midwest Illinois, not too far from Cahokia Mounds, so finding arrowheads was actually not that uncommon. Anyway, that day I remember picking out a spot to dig. I had been out there for quite a while because I remember I had a pretty decent-sized hole going when something caught my eye up in the tree that I was next to. I almost don't know how to explain it, but it looked like almost a heat wave coming off the branch of the tree. It was fall, I remember this because I had my pink jacket on and remember thinking that my mom was going to be pissed because I had dirt around the bottom of the arms from digging. I also remember there being a lot of leaves on the ground. Anyway, I am staring at this heat wave and realize it has a human shape. So here I am, 5 years old, and wondering why there is an invisible man in the tree. I remember feeling scared but unsure what to do. Then it started moving and making a faint clicking sound. That is about the time that I decided that I was not supposed to be seeing this, and I hightailed it back to the house. My grandmother seen I was pretty shaken, and I remember telling her that I'd just seen an angel. In my 5-year-old mind, I didn't know what else it could be. I had never heard of aliens or ghosts or monsters, so to me it had to be an angel because that's all my little mind could think of. Fast forward to when I'm about 12 years old. By this time the encounter was way out of mind. I loved watching action and sci-fi movies. My dad rented a movie called Predator. I'm watching it with him, and the first time you see the Predator, invisible or cloaked eye, about shit my pants. All the memories from that day digging the dirt came flooding back. I even asked my dad if Predator was real, or if he knew if anyone or any animal that had cloaking ability that I didn't know about. He told me it was all fake. It wasn't like it is today, where I could just Google it. I had no access to the internet, so again, I just put it out of my mind. Again, fast forward to about the year 2004. I am grown. I have 3 small children. I just went through a separation from my husband. I moved to the next town over to an apartment with my kids. These apartments are all one-level duplexes, with there being 5 buildings. I am at the very last apartment of the last building. The apartments are considered in town, but are on the outskirts. There is a deep ditch that runs behind the buildings with a chain-link fence that separates the backyard from the ditch. There are about 6-7 trees on our side of the fence. If you follow the ditch a little bit, you hit a small forest that eventually leads to the country with a larger forest and farmland. I am a smoker, but would not smoke in the apartment because of the kids, so I often went out to the back porch. One night I was up late doing laundry and stuff after the kids went to bed. I decided to take a smoke break before I myself went to sleep. I am back there on the porch, and I started hearing this faint clicking sound. I immediately looked to the ditch because I had seen a groundhog out there a few days before and thought perhaps he was out there again. The yard is faintly lit from the outside light that is by the playground that is to the right of my back porch. I didn't turn on my porch light. I didn't normally. If I was just going out for a quick smoke, I didn't see any groundhog or movement from the ditch, so I go back to smoking my cigarette. The faint clicking sound keeps happening, and a slight shift of movement makes me look up into the tree to the left of my porch. It's there. The same invisible thing I had seen when I was 5. It is like a distortion and in a humanoid shape. It is crouched down on the branch with an arm out holding onto the trunk of the tree. I couldn't believe it. I was like, is this happening? As it came to kill me from me seeing it all those years ago. All I could think about was my kids in the apartment sleeping. I ran in and slammed and locked the door. I ran to the kids' rooms and made sure all the windows are locked. Then I just turn out the lights in the living room and stare out the blinds at the tree to see if I could catch another glimpse of it. I sat there for about a good 10 minutes and couldn't see anything. I began to think that I am just tired and my mind was playing tricks on me. Just as I was finally talking myself down, my neighbor's dog comes running across the yard and starts barking at the tree, at the same branch that I had seen this predator thing. That pretty much freaked me out because this dog was not a barker. I actually have never heard him bark at anything, even at the groundhog that had been hanging out at the ditch. This barking went on for a few minutes until I hear the neighbor lady, who owns the dog, call him back inside. The dog reluctantly turned to go back home, stopping every few feet to look back at the branch of the tree until he was out of my sight. I didn't sleep that night and have never seen anything like it again. I don't know what to think of it. I am a grown woman. I have kids and a good career. I just want to know if anyone else has ever had an experience like this. I know what I saw, believe it or not. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I am sorry I am on mobile, so I hope that the formatting on this isn't horrible. I live Desert Hot Springs, a city a few miles away from Palm Springs, California. The first experience I remember is when I was about 6 years old. I was playing on a table while watching TV. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a girl walking into my room. I remember excitedly calling out for my cousin, thinking it was her. That moment, my mom pops out of the kitchen to tell me no one is home but us. A few years later, in a different home, I get home from school and go in my room to play video games. I set myself on my bed, and a few minutes later, I feel like someone jumped on my bed. I pretended I didn't feel anything and just kept playing. A few months later, I feel something wake me up. I see a face next to mine. I shut my eyes, hoping to go back to sleep, but of course it's not happening. I quickly get up and turn on the light. I never moved faster in my life. Those were the major experiences. There's quite a few small things that happened. Funny thing, a few months ago, my aunt asked me if I felt any sort of presence in that house. I wasn't the only one that experienced possible paranormal activity in that house. Maybe 8 years later in my mom's current home, around 10 p.m., my mom calls out scared that something climbed over the wall into our yard. Now at the time, there was only a few homes and miles of nothing but desert. I go outside with a rifle, thinking maybe it was a pack of coyotes trying to get our small dog, since there was reports of coyotes attacking pets around the area. She tells me to come back inside quick and tells me what she saw. She described it as a black mass or blob, completely shapeless. My girlfriend and I were out. Before I left, I asked if she needed a ride home, and she said no. I had a bad feeling about leaving without her, but I have bad anxiety and brushed it off as just that. As soon as my car hit the road from the parking lot, this image popped into my head. I saw my girlfriend's car in a mangled mess with a black SUV. The front ends of both cars were destroyed. I pushed it out of my mind and continued on, chalking it up to anxiety. The next morning, I was informed that my girlfriend had been in a severe head on collision. She survived, but the people in the other car didn't. When the police report was released, I saw that the other car was a black SUV. I wasn't a believer in visions, etc., previously, but this seems too much to be a coincidence. I know I can't blame myself, but there's always this guilt that had I listened to that bad feeling or vision or whatever, two people could still be alive. Do you think this was some sort of VSP or